Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, it's time for you to release and feel better going into the weekend. Hour number three here on this actually sunny Friday afternoon right now. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Monster Jam tickets to give away. Nissan Stadium, Saturday, June 25th. Monster Jam tickets on the line, but you're going to have to get involved. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell us who or what has made you mad. Willie, you got anything you want to start?
Yeah, this is one. And my problem is when I wrote this down, there was a specific example I had in mind and I can't remember what, what it is. But here is my thing. The song Take Me Home, Country Road.
Okay.
Great song.
Yeah.
Great sing-along song. Probably has been used in many karaoke bars.
Well, campfire
Kelly,
song.
Was it Kelly Holcomb using that for Silly Underdogs?
He was. And the first time I saw it play in a stadium, it was in West Virginia for the West Virginia Mountaineers. Makes perfect sense, right? Perfect song. And everybody was singing in unison. It was awesome. Wait, what were you going to say, Elijah?
But it's not about West Virginia.
Okay, but that's okay. But West Virginia, at least, is in the song. There are some other places that I've heard it. I've heard it played and everybody's singing along, but there's no connection from the song to the arena. I'm like, so why? Like, can't we do better? So if you're going to use a song for the sing-along, there should be a connection to the team. So okay. That's my thing.
See, there's the West Virginia thing's interesting because I saw a video a long time ago of a guy explaining, like, the Blue Ridge Mountains apparently are in Western Virginia. So it's not him singing West Virginia, it's the West part of Virginia. And West Virginia sings that for all of their sporting events.
For example, too, like, Don't Stop Believin' is a great song that everybody plays. But it worked especially well for the Red Wings when they were doing Born and Raised in South Detroit, when everybody at Joe Louis Arena would dive in there and give it all they got, give it all they had with the lyrics. So there's been a few times, it's been used a lot here recently. And then there's another one that's being stolen, the Blink 182, All the Small Things, is that the name of the song? Ball Arena, they get hardcore and they sing it. And even after the music stops and the puck is dropped, they keep going. And it's impressive. They go on for 30, 40 seconds sometimes. So to me, you get dibs on that. But now I'm hearing that song everywhere. That's an old song. That song's been around forever. But people are kind of like trying to recreate that. That's a pretty bad steal right there. So my category is, look, once somebody stakes their turf on a gig, on a song in the arena or at the stadium, you got to leave it be. You got to leave it be. Let it be their thing. You come up with your own thing.
You just made the list.
Okay. You feel better?
I feel a little bit better.
Okay,
I think there's more creativity out there that's untapped. We need more creativity.
Speaking of creativity, this has just been going on for too long, and we've got to put a stop to it and inform these people that it's literally the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen on television, and I don't understand why they keep doing it. But I think I've brought this up before in the past because it just keeps going on. And I'm watching it again last night again because I'm watching Calgary in Edmonton, and people at hockey games that have the lower seats down close to the glass, and there is action, whether it's a face-off or something right by them, and they stand up and they turn around for the cameras. It drives me bonkers. Like, what are you doing? Like, why? Do you really do that the whole game? Every time? There's something in front of you. And, oh, by the way, how do you think the people behind them feel? That every time their dumb behinds stand up and turn around, like, whoa, yeah! like, you think it's a close-up? Do you really think? And, by the way, the shot is for, like, a second. Do you
that
every time? The whole game?
That person
Whoa,
is
yeah!
That person is the same person that's sitting behind home plate with the cell phone and say, am I in the shot?
Gosh,
can you see me?
It drives me crazy
the
at these
person.
Hockey games. Yeah. These people that constantly stand up and turn around like they're being put on television. You're on for like a half a second. It's not a close-up. And nobody knows it's you and
that's
nobody
bad.
Cares.
No question. And so... That's what's super annoying about the person sitting behind home plate, because they are constantly on, and there's no way around it. Hey, Darren, look on your TV.
You see
Flip
me?
Flip on
you
the game. I'm right behind the plate. Check
Do
it out.
Do you see me?
Look at me. I'm wearing a green shirt.
That's why you got to be Marlins man and just wear the same orange Marlins shirt to every event you go to. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. No need for antics, because you're going to stand out.
Oh, gosh, it's just nauseating.
You just made the list.
It's nauseating watching that. And last night I'm watching that same row of knuckleheads. I'm assuming they've been celebrating the 1989 Stanley Cup championship all day long as Calgary fans, because they must be induced a little bit to keep doing that every like, I dreaded, like, the face-off right there. I'm like, no, not the face-off right there in front of them. No, and they're going to stand up and,
hey, Mom, check it out.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, those knuckleheads that continue to do that at hockey games just.
You just made the list.
To possibly get one millisecond on television of not even a close-up to try just to tell their friends, I'm not Davey. Oh, please, please stop it. Please.
You just made the list.
Okay. We'll come back. Loaded Lines. Monster Jam tickets. By the way, they're showing that play last night. I watched it live. It was an incredible slide. I think that was Dylan Cruz, was it not? LSU, Kentucky. For him to get around that, and Kentucky's coach was beside himself. He thought it was the wrong call. They slowed it down frame by frame. I think he was in there.
Inconclusive from the angle that they just showed.
Really?
I wasn't watching
what
the game, so I wasn't aware about just my first thought of that replay. Inconclusive.
No. Did you watch it last night? They showed it a million times. Actually, I think he actually avoided the tag.
You
until,
think?
Yeah, I do.
What was the call on the field?
Safe.
Well, then too much to overturn then.
Safe.
I think calling the field stands based on that angle. I haven't seen
safe. I was watching
other
live.
Angles.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get your phone calls. Tell us who or what has made you mad. We'll do that next.
You just made the list.
That should get you in the mood. That should get you angry. Who's on your list? Who's made you mad? Tell us about it. 615-737 1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start things off with Nate. Who or what's made you mad?
What's up, guys? First off, did y'all see that the ball boy at the SEC tournament is trying to, the kids are trying to give him money for the balls?
Yes, I did see that.
But he has to, unfortunately, the kid has to refuse. Anyway.
I looked like a dad was. Had like cash between the fingers, trying to slide it under the netting.
Well, I saw a kid.
To a kid. Yeah, to give.
Yeah.
That's come on, man. I mean that's on the list. That puts you on the list right
world?
There. Come on, man. You can.
You just
if you go to
Rat.
A day, if you go to four games, and you can't get a ball, then
like,
you just it's
you
not
problem.
In the cards, man.
It's a you
it's just
problem.
Not in the cards. And if you don't get a ball, you know what? Life will go on. Go to another game. Maybe you'll get a ball. That's the fun part of getting a ball. A fun part of getting a ball is not paying for a ball. Okay? Oh, what a great story. You paid for a ball? Come on. I remember.
All right, guys.
All right, Nate. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Yeah, that's a good one, though.
No,
that's a really good one.
Going down the whole
man, you set
path.
Off a chord well, with me, man. That was good.
Well, Matt. Well, now, unfortunately, I kind of feel bad because this has been festering ever since Tannehill's press conference, and it's time to let it out. Unfortunately, this should be no surprise to anyone, but Vili.
Vili is on the list.
You complain about people and writers taking a single phrase or two to talk about or write about when the interviewee talks for a certain or for a significant amount of time. If press conferences were written about in their entirety, it'd be like a 20-page book. And if shows were talked about the entire press conference, people would tune out because it gets boring. Most, if not all, press conferences don't have grade A answers throughout the entire thing. You just give interviewees a pass when they talk for 9+ minutes and then yell at everyone when they pick something out to talk about. While no one expects people to be perfect all the time, like Darren and Derek said on Tuesday, you are responsible for your words. Vili, who wants to give long interviewees suckers and warm soft blankets to protect them after their long pressers,
you just made the list.
It's getting Bell treatment now.
Man.
What did you say? What did he say? Warm blankets and suckers?
Yep. Suckers and warm blankets.
Oh, man. Outstanding. 615-737-1025. Do you have a rebuttal? Do you have a comment, or you want us to move along?
I think we just have to move along. I mean, okay. I've just come to grips, Nate, and I don't see eye to eye sometimes, and
I'm
that's
giving
okay.
you a chance. To
that's all right.
Rebuff, rebuttal, whatever.
Taken out of context is okay. My only retort.
Okay, let's go. Let's go to Eric. Eric, who or what is on your list?
So, guys, you may have seen this video that was out earlier this week. It took place in Addicport where a United Airlines worker got in the face and slapped the face of a former guy that played for the Denver Broncos in the NFL. He, of course, is now in the Canadian Football League. And then after he slapped the guy that was a former pro football player for the Broncos, he knocked him on his butt with his fist cold cocked him. And do you know the reason why? Apparently, the guy was upset. The United Airlines worker, and of course he's a former worker now, he got upset because the guy used a wheelchair to get his luggage in the airport instead of using a luggage cart. So he decided to pick a fight with the guy, and he got what he deserved by getting knocked on his butt. Of course, the guy that was the former United Airlines employee, he got fired for doing that. He was a headset guy and tried to pick a fight with a guy that was a professional football player or former professional football who's not in the Canadian League. So that guy, that former airport worker that did that, he just made my list for doing that. What a dummy. Guys, y'all take care. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And I hope all the veterans do as well. Y'all take care. Yep.
You just made the list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got what he deserved. He's looking for a new job. Like, this just in. You can't do that. You can't pick fights with the customers. Can't do that.
He got smoked. I don't know if you saw. He got it was a hard knockdown.
What did you think was coming? I mean, honestly, what did you think was coming? I don't know.
But it wasn't funny. I'd hate to see that happen. But he got back up and went back at the guy. And the player, I forget the guy's name that used to play for the Broncos. He was like, "Really? You're coming at me for more? You want more?"
Let's go down to the borough. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to put myself on the list for using this segment to drop names. Every one of these names is either on stage or in a studio or a rehearsal room or backstage. Dolly Parton, sweetest lady on the planet. Countless nights with Garth till 2-3 in the morning waiting on our client to get through doing overdubs, so we played putt on this little lounge putter green and threw darts and drank Dr. Peppers. He's an awesome individual. Bo Cephas the day they were singing the "Are You Ready for Some Football?" Their $10,000 microphone blew a tube, and so they called us and said, "Got to get over here immediately. We got all these people sitting waiting around." Saved the day, brought them a tube mic, and they went ahead with the session. And it took about 20 minutes to set up, and he was just standing there shooting the breeze, sitting around with Charlie Daniels while the piano tuner's doing his thing, hearing stories from him out in Mount Juliet. Foo Fighters in 98 on their very first tour. They smoked all our weed on the crew under the Shelby Street Bridge. We didn't even know who they were. And then they said, "Hey, we got to go." And they ran up to the stage and blew 30,000 people's minds. They were really cool. And I could go on for half an hour, but I feel arrogant. But the very most memorable one, we drove way out in the country, probably an hour from Music Row. And we turned the corner in the kitchen, and there sits Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, and Kris Kristofferson. And they were doing the Highwaymen record. And we sat down and had bacon and eggs with them guys. And they said, "Oh, hey, come here." And around the corner comes Ringo Starr. Says, "Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thanks for bringing the gear." And he was just hanging out with them while they recorded the record. I think he sat in on some drums. But we were probably 2 hours setting up the gear while they just sat around shooting the breeze. So just class, class acts, every one of them.
Don't you wish you had a cell phone back then?
Man, we didn't. We had pagers, bro. We had Motorola pagers.
I know. I said, don't you wish there were cell phones back then that you could take a picture and document it?
I only ever asked for one autograph in that whole time, and that was Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night, because he sang "One is the Loneliest Number," and I thought he was the coolest guy ever. That's the only autograph I ever asked for.
Wow.
So y'all have a great weekend, and I'm going to put myself on the list for bragging.
Oh, well, that was good.
You just made the list.
If we got Ringo covered, that's three Beatles.
I know.
And now, you know, John Lennon, of course, that's probably a tougher one. You got to have somebody maybe a little bit older. But, hey, do I hear four? Can we go four for four?
Can we actually? I mean, that would be unbelievable.
Is anybody out there met John Lennon? Then our show can say.
Not John Glennon. We've met John Glennon.
No, not John Glennon. We had John on the show yesterday.
Yeah,
that was a good interview.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Got him covered. John Lennon.
John Lennon, not Glennon.
John Lennon.
I don't believe John Lennon went to Virginia.
Well, he may have went to Virginia. He just didn't go to the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
Never covered the Titans.
Don't think he covered the Titans or the Predators. I'm pretty sure. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Charlie. Who or what is on your list?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great.
So this happened last Saturday at Geodis Park. I'm sure you guys are aware with the rain delay that we had.
I was there.
Yeah. We were there, too. So it was during the rain delays. Of course, everybody was waiting to see what happened. Of course, there was a good people that left because they got tired of waiting. My wife and I kind of stuck it out.
Did you wait the whole time?
Game. Yeah.
Oh, wow. We punted after about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, we had friends, too, so we were just talking and drinking and, you know, just having a good time. But the wife and I got hungry, and I'm not going to say names, but it's one of the businesses that sells food, specifically pizza. Obviously, there was a long line everywhere because everybody was getting food. And by the way, great crowd last Saturday. That was the best crowd I've seen.
It was fun while it lasted, all 18 minutes before the rain
came. Right. So obviously the line was really long. So we were like, we'll wait. You know, we got time. We don't know when the game's going to resume. So we're standing there, and obviously we're smelling a greasy pizza. Obviously it smells really good. So, again, we were just there talking, and then I told my wife, I just made a joke. I said, what if they just run out of pizza by the time we get there?
Oh,
and Shirley,
no.
You know where I'm going next.
Oh, no.
As soon as we got there to the front, and I was just ready, all I could think about was this pizza. Next thing you know, they ran out, and the look on my face, you could even ask my wife. I mean, I was just so disappointed. It was a frustrating moment, but I get it. You know, it was a big crowd last Saturday. I mean, it was just really, really, really disappointing. Knowing I wasn't going to get the pizza after all waiting about 25 to 30 minutes, smelling the pizza the whole time. I mean, It was disappointing, but so I couldn't let them slide at all.
You just made the list.
Thank you,
and
Charlie.
Maybe it would help if they sold potato cakes. Just saying.
No, it would be awesome. I would have stood there for 30 minutes for sure. And
that
I would have
worth
had triple
wait.
Order. Yeah. Thank you, Charlie. You know, I'm with him. Like, I could have used that today, Willie, but I was like, I can't. Like, they got overwhelmed. You know, it was a sellout game or close to it. I don't know if it was officially a sellout or not. But everybody's in, you know, everybody now is going to congregate to the food places because you've got nothing else to do, right? Buy a drink, buy food. And so they got overwhelmed. And it was a little bit of a splatter show. But, you know, they also don't prepare to get overwhelmed by everybody at once, you know? So I chose to leave it out. Charlie did the pizza. We did the gyro. And, you know, again, they just got bombarded. So I decided just push that one aside. I'll give them a pass because of the situation.
I think that's fair.
But I do understand.
Unusual circumstances.
That's
got to
be
frustrating.
Yeah, and that's got to be frustrating to wait that long and then get up there. Sorry, folks. Park's closed. No pizza. Let's get one more.
Smells great, though.
smells great. Let's go to Justin. You'll be our final caller. Who or what's on your list?
So people that are new hires to a company, that they've never worked in this type of industry before, and they're being trained, and they think they know it all on day two. They're like, you're training them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And then 5 minutes later, you know, you're doing something else. They're like, hey, can you help me? And I'm like, you know, hey, I thought you knew how to do that. You know, if you're being trained at a new company, take notes, be patient. That is the most frustrating thing to me. So they just made the list.
Okay, all right.
You just made the list.
So basically just the know-it-all. They say they know it all. That's basically what Justin was getting at.
So it's smart, especially if you're being trained, to admit if you haven't been trained, that you need training.
But don't say that and then circle back around 5 minutes later and say, I need help.
Yeah. Okay.
Not good.
Set the bar low. Say you know nothing. Set the bar as low as possible. And if you know something, you have blown away everybody at the company and exceeded all expectations.
Set the bar low. Yep, that's good.
All right, good stuff. All right, appreciate the participation. We'll come back. Our buddy Caleb Joseph to begin the final hour. More DDC next. This Sunday, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix Indy 500 Watch Party. That'll be at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet, 11 to 3 p.m. You can enter to win a VIP experience at Big Machine Music City Grand Prix that includes tickets, paddock passes, an official race car ride. Enjoy 2-for-1 specials on draft and bottled beer this Sunday, Jonathan's Mount Juliet from 11 a. to 3 p. Home run by Arkansas, 7-5 in the ninth, two outs.
A lot of home runs in this game.
There have been.
The ball's carrying today. So keep that in mind if you are headed to watch Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Ball is carrying today.
Arkansas.
Note to self.
Was the SEC champ last year in Hoover. They beat Tennessee, so they're still alive, but they've got one out left.
Yeah, it was 7-2 entering the inning, so they're trying to get a last-minute rally here, but they're down to the last sliver.
They're calling the Hogs, though.
They're calling the Hogs. They're going down swinging.
I did see Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who we had on this week, has closed his survey. And he says, the results are fascinating. I will post them on Tuesday.
So he is tantalizing. He's going to hold them for 3 days before we get to see the results, even though he has the results.
A lot to sift through over the week.
Well, he says he has the results.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know how he's going to unveil the results.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, what he's doing is he's building the suspense. Mm-hmm. It's smart. But, man, we got to wait all the way through the weekend to see it now.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see where people go with that. Some of the things I thought were pretty easy to answer, I think, at least for what everybody's going to say. But there's a couple. I'll be curious to see where people go with this. Like, where are they on the Philip Forsberg deal? You know, basically the deal that we've been putting out there for a good while on this show. 8 years, eight and a half per. You enter, you out on. You know, and they've got to answer yes or no. And I don't know. I would assume fans will always say yes, right? But I don't know. Typically when it's not your money, because you've heard me say this, like for fans who are always like, just give him whatever he wants. Like, no, that's not how it works. Like, that's a silly comment. Don't say that. That's not how it works. So, and I'm not using that as to blanket, that's how all fans feel, but I kind of feel like they typically go with the player. Or am I wrong? I don't know. But I am curious to see where this goes and what they say. But we'll have to wait till Tuesday.
Yep, we got
to
wait till Tuesday
to find out. Speaking of that, we talked earlier about the Flames crazy. I mean, just the crazy game and series that was the Flames and Oilers. And after Calgary won 9-6 in game one, they're already eliminated. They lose the next four. Where do they go from here? They've got two gigantic free agents. So don't forget, they traded and gave up a lot for Kale Yarncroke, who did score last night. They traded for Toffoli, and they're out in the second round.
Yeah, they've got...
What happens to them now?
They got big decisions to make. They have a list of free agents.
Arkansas is eliminated, by the way. They just
yeah, Florida got the last out, so they're done. So Vanderbilt, Kentucky should start close to on time, which is a miracle these days. The weather finally is not an issue down in Birmingham, so they should be okay. So Arkansas will be headed home. They'll wait to see where they are seated tomorrow on Monday. Vanderbilt, Kentucky will be probably, I don't know, 105, 110, usually about 30 minutes between games. But for the Flames, here is their list. Johnny Gaudreau, unrestricted free agent, age 28. 113 points, 115 points, something like that. Major decision on him. Matthew Tkachuk, restricted free agent, age 24. Already makes a lot. I think he's got to be qualified at around $8 million. So it would, on one hand, you'd say he's a no-brainer. Got to have him back. But it's going to be very expensive to do it. And can you do it and also bring back Johnny Gaudreau? Well, you can, but what else do you have on your list? Well, Andrew Mangiapane, career year, huge season, restricted free agent, age 26, kind of an overachiever. Is it a one-year wonder, or is he the real deal? And so what's the price? Kale Yarncroke, Trevor Lewis, Eric Goodbranson, Michael Stone, Nikita Zadorov, all veteran guys who were the right guys on this team to win the division, all unrestricted free agents. You know, on one hand, you could say, can you replace those guys? Yeah, you can replace a lot of them, but you're turning over a big part of your roster if you let them all go. And will they all take the discount to stay? They've also got a really interesting case of a guy that used to be a star, and he's still on the team, but he's been injured and ineffective. Sean Monahan, remember him? He used to be really good.
He was boring.
He has one of the funniest Twitter, what do you call it, the burner accounts, whatever, or, you know, Stan, somebody impersonating Sean Monahan. I don't know what the lingo is, but.
Boring
Sean Monahan. A Stan account, yeah. I think
boring Sean Monahan. Is funny because he's a real monotone guy, but he's an excellent player, but he's had a series of injuries. He makes $6.3 million. He's still got another year on his contract. It's a little bit, to me, like the Vladimir Tarasenko. You could probably get him pretty cheap, but you're gambling. Is he going to bounce back? Obviously, Tarasenko did, and nobody bit. What do you do with him? So major, major questions for Calgary, and they really went for it as they should have. And I will always wonder what if. And we'll never know. But what if UC Soros hadn't gotten hurt and they had played Calgary in the first round with a healthy UC Soros, I think they had a chance.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they would have won.
It's a lot of what ifs.
Well, it's really one. It's what if UC Saros didn't get hurt is really it.
Yeah, because you're saying they would have played Calgary. And okay, I'll grant you that.
I just would have liked to have seen – I think we would not be talking about a team that looked like they were overmatched in the playoffs. I think that series would have been a very competitive series, Predators versus Flames.
Well, it's pretty clear after watching Calgary play, they just weren't very good. I mean, they
– Well, that, see, that's the thing.
They beat Dallas in seven.
That's where it's a little
Markstrom
luck.
Markstrom was crap.
That's the thing.
This series. Total crap. He was soft as – Well, I've got a line I used in our group text that I won't use, but which, by the way, I was expecting a little bit more reaction out of you guys, and it was kind of crickets, which tells me you guys were distracted because I thought it was a pretty good line. But anyway,
it was a good
line. I'll steer clear of that. But he was soft, man. He gave up soft goals left and right. He just was
for a Vezina Trophy candidate. He did not play at that level.
He was
in the playoffs.
Good. Not very good.
Nope.
At all. So, yeah, I thought this was the way they were built. I thought they were built for playoff hockey, and, man, they were, they were overrated. I mean, they just were not good in the playoffs. Could have easily lost, should have lost to Dallas. They had nobody gave Dallas a prayer in that series. They just were not good, and they got smoked by Edmonton. Smoked after winning game one 9-6. I was just amazed at how flat on their, how they fell flat on their face in the playoffs.
Yep.
They just were not very
good. They're going to have to change. The salary cap will force them to change. They're not going to have the same team back next year. They may have chosen not to anyway because of what you just said. It didn't go right in the playoffs, but this is a classic example of what is the formula. What's the winning formula? Only one team at the end of the season will say, yep, everything we did, it worked perfectly.
We come back to wrap up the third hour. I want you to throw something out there that I wonder why this really hasn't been a discussion piece of an option for young guys starting out their NFL career. And is this a really viable option? No, we'll discuss to wrap up the third hour, and it includes the discussion is about the Titans backup quarterback. We'll do that next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. 106.3. We've talked a little bit about the USFL, not really much. It's still going, by the way. Hasn't folded its tent yet. But for a guy like Malik Willis, who the Titans drafted in the third round, and there's a lot of other of these examples littered around the league, would this be a viable option this time of year for them at the beginning of their career? I mean, the reality is, they would love for him to sit there and hold a clipboard all year long and never touch the field, right? Maybe. Maybe there should be, a package here, a package there for him time to time in certain situations that they could utilize his legs, right? Which kind of like what the Raiders did with Mariota last year. But there really is no, there is no minor leagues. Hockey's got minor leagues. Baseball's got minor leagues. NBA's got a G League. But as we know, there's nothing for football.
Nothing.
Is this something maybe NFL teams, if the USFL can last and stick around, is this something that, maybe they should think about? Maybe sending young guys to go get some reps, get some action in?
I just had this thought yesterday, and I honestly have not watched more than a minute or two of the USFL. I couldn't tell you how it's going, how the business plan. I've had too much going on. I hope it succeeds. I'm never rooting against a league like that. I think there's a market for it, but I thought about it this way. Let's just take Malik Willis, a very unique talent, a guy that played in the spread offense in college and excelled. He has great tools. But it seems to me that he needs as much developmental time as you can possibly give him. And the good thing for the Titans is they didn't invest a first-round pick on him, so it's even better. He's not going to cost you a whole lot. But if it works out, he could be, in a perfect world, the successor. That's what you're hoping for. So what would be better for his development?
the program that is the traditional program that we're all watching unfold right now. He's working with a secondary company. Now he's getting as much time as he's allowed to get with the Titans. He's got the playbook. He's working away from the field, but there's no substitute for game action. Now, I know it's not the same offense, maybe, but if you could, in a perfect world, would it be better for him to develop if you had a similar type of offense and he's playing under center and he's reading defenses in the USFL? Would that speed along his development more than the current system? Just a philosophical question. And I wonder if someday we'll get to that point. And would you do it? Because there would be risk involved, right? Hey, what if he gets a really bad injury in a USFL game? Well, that's the risk that you would run. And the trade-off would be the reward. He gets reps. He gets game situations. You find out more whether he can play and what you need to work on. And I don't know enough about the football player's body to know that would it be detrimental if you hope, because there's some thought that he shouldn't even be the backup this year. It's risky to have him as the backup. Because is he ready to jump in there? Or are you better off almost keeping him as the third guy this year? So could you play a USFL season and then an NFL season in a spring and a fall? Or is that asking too much of the athlete's body? These are all just things I thought of. So when I say that, do you think I'm crazy for throwing that out there?
No, it's not crazy, especially if, again, your goal, without knowing how it's going to truly play out, is for him to sit and learn. Now, he could be in there for a play or two a week, and that probably wouldn't work every week, right? Just certain situations, certain matchups. So it's not crazy if your intent is to really not use him. Why would you not continue his development playing against, you can't replicate what's going on in the USFL. Yes, is it the same level as the NFL? No, but you can't duplicate that at practice, right? There's certain things you cannot create in a practice setting, OTAs, training camp, whatever, that you could get out there. You know, you are playing against professionals. I mean, it is not Liberty anymore. So I don't think it's crazy.
Well, and it's also the type of – it's a pro game. You're playing the pro-style offense. To me, that would be the biggest benefit. It's, obviously the talent level wouldn't be the same, but you're getting used to running a pro offense, running plays under center, calling plays, especially if you could have a relationship, because obviously this wasn't going to happen this year. But it's more of a vision. What's the best way to develop quarterbacks in particular? Like, what if you could make a deal with the USFL team to say, okay, we send this quarterback to you and have him play four games? Even if it wasn't the whole season. Hey, we want this guy to be our backup in the fall, but we'd like to take a look at him in some games. Can he play four games with you guys? I think there would be a benefit to that.
Andrew says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, what if he used that game experience and used it under center as opposed to being in the shotgun?
Well, that's my point, how are you ever going to know whether he can play? There's less preseason games now. There's one less preseason game, so that's less chance for him. And even in those preseason games, that's a very small amount of work that you can get for him in those games. I would think he would play a lot in this preseason just to let him learn. But if you could do that and have four games in the USFL, is that asking too much of him, or is that a better developmental plan? I could argue it's a better developmental plan.
I think it's a great...
For a quarterback. Like, it'd be one thing if you're talking about a lineman or a running back.
Why?
Because the wear and tear. Like, the wear and tear could be a lot. And then would you be fresh enough to get through the entire grind?
Well, I think an
NFL season
would be more at risk than the wear and tear on an offensive lineman.
But ideally, you don't need Malik Willis to play this year.
Look,
he might have to. But I think you could play four games and still be fresh enough to start training camp and not be too burnt out.
here's where you have to come to grips with things. You cannot go in worried about it. Look, you have to be okay with whatever happens, because I know the easiest thing will be is for everybody to say, that's a great idea, and then somebody gets hurt, and they're like, that's a horrible idea. How stupid were you to do that, right? You can't go in worried about getting hurt. You can get hurt in practice. You can get hurt doing anything. So you can't worry about that, to me. That's the way. What are you trying to accomplish? If what you're trying to accomplish is getting reps, doing things a certain way, whether it's being under center or what have you, whatever your game plan is of trying to develop something at the USFL level, you have to just go into it and just do it and not worry about, you know, the getting hurt part, because the getting hurt part can come in anything. It can come when players get hurt in practice. They get hurt in practice all the time. So you can't worry about that.
I remember during the pandemic when there was, and some leagues actually did it. Remember the OVC did it. They played a spring season. They moved the season to the spring.
Yeah.
And there was at one point a theory that that's what you'd have to do. Now, of course, they came around and they played the fall season. Most people fell into line. But there was a lot of people saying, you can't do that. It's too much to ask for a player to play a spring season and then turn around and play the fall season a few months later. And I'm not enough of a football person to be able to say that's true or not true. But I would just think for a quarterback where you're not getting hit on every play. Now, it just takes one bad hit. But an abbreviated season, I think, could be really good to develop quarterbacks.
Well, when you say it takes getting hit, what's his biggest strength right now? Running. So you're telling me he's not going to take off and run in the USFL? I mean, he's going to be at risk. He's not a pocket passer.
Yeah, there would be risk. Whether he's pocket passer, runner, all of the above, and that's what you're trying to find out, is you want him to develop the full skill set, which everybody believes he's got the tools to do. But he needs reps. He needs to play in a pro system. And would that accelerate the development? If you could build a relationship with that league and you have a partnership with a USFL team, and you say, I've got these five guys that I want to play, but particularly quarterbacks, how many times are we looking around saying there's not enough good quarterbacks to go around, particularly backup quarterbacks? I would even argue Logan Woodside would benefit from playing a half a season in the USFL just to get game experience.
For that to happen, though, truly, wouldn't the NFL have to buy it?
Well, you'd have to have a partnership. I don't know if you'd have to buy it. Now, that's one school of thought. I mean, for generations, Major League Baseball has had a farm system for a reason. Now, they just contracted it, and it used to be a lot bigger way back in the day, but it was a competitive advantage for the teams that could build a good farm system. But that's how you develop players. That's how you weed out who can play and who can't play.
All right, we'll come back. Final hour. We start things off with our buddy Caleb Joseph. We do that next.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.